We now turn to our local animal shelter, the Better Together Animal Alliance. We have Mandy Evans. Mandy, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning.
Official title, executive director?
Yeah.
Okay. And actually, the reason I invited you in is because you had, I received, and I'm on your mailing list, of course, an email saying you have an urgent need for cat food because you have a lot of cat in the shelter right now, I guess?
It's cat and kitten season.
Okay.
Yes. And really, the urgent request was focused on community needs. We have, last year, we provided about 91,000 pounds of dog and cat food to our community. And our goal is to help community members keep their pets so that they don't need to end up in the shelter.
Oh, I see. Okay. So this it actually helps people that just need help with their animal feed.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And okay. The cat food is, in particular, generally a difficult one. We do run out. We ran out earlier this year as well. It's expensive. Cat food is expensive. So we really rely on our community donations of dog and cat food to fund that community food bank. So we significantly appreciate the community support. And the reason for the urgent need is that we literally ran out and we were having to turn people away. But we've had a great response. People have been placing Chewy orders and dropping off food. And we have donation bins at Yokes Super One, at
North 40. And Petco.
Petco, they will accept donations if you buy them from there. So I see. Not a drop-off site.
Okay.
Super One and Yokes. So, yeah, you can purchase food and drop it in the bins and we'll come pick it up.
Okay. And or they could go and donate online. And you could actually, I checked that out, you could actually pick the type of food you wanted to donate.
Yeah, so yeah. We have a link to Chewy.com. Chewy does an amazing process to make donations. They make it so easy. And we have a wish list. So people can go on, select the food that they would like to purchase, and then it's shipped right to us.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you find that link if you go to BetterTogetherAnimalAlliance.org.
Yes.
And you look on the homepage and you go, I think you go under events maybe to find this.
The one thing I didn't look at, Chris, okay, before I came in.
Okay. But I'm sure there's also a donate page that you have, of course.
Yes, and I believe that the link, I'm positive, will be on our Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Facebook it and check it out that way. And you could go there to do your donation online or go by Yokes or Super One or North 40 or Petco, and you can donate hands-on.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So.
And bring it by the shelter.
Yeah.
The shelter itself is open Tuesday through Saturday. We're now closed Sundays and Mondays. We're still there, of course, to help the animals, but not open to the public. And then you can also drop off at the thrift store.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Right.
We're open 7 days a week in the thrift store.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about cats. I know that you encourage people to spay and neuter their animals.
Yes.
Yeah. What about the cats, the feral cats that are out there that keep reproducing? And I know that you have a philosophy and actually kind of an action plan to try to cut down on the number of cats that don't even have homes.
Right. So I know feral cats is a hot topic for you, Chris, being a bird lover. I love birds, too. So the data that they've done studies that show that through an active spay and neuter program in colonies, it reduces the cat population. And we did a colony back, oh, gosh, forever now, before we had actually launched this program. We tested it out on Oak Street. There was a colony, I believe it had 15 cats. We slowly started to spay and neuter. And within 2 years, I believe there were 3 cats left. And it's just because once you stop the procreating, then there's natural things that happen. There might be you know, animals, cars that cause them to die, or they've moved on to other locations. Mm-hmm. So that's really the best way to stabilize and reduce colonies and free roaming cats. But I know that some people just want us to pick them up and euthanize them. We wouldn't do that as the shelter. So this is the best way that we can support our community in reducing those populations.
Mm-hmm. And how do you have to, like, actually set traps, I presume, to catch these feral cats?
So our program, the philosophy at our organization is that we don't need to do things alone. So we believe that the community is here to help us as much as we're here to help the community. And it's about providing the community members with the tools and resources they need to be a part of the solution. So the way our feral cat program is run is that community members come in and they can borrow traps from us. They put down a deposit of, I think it's $50, and they take traps. We tell them when to set them. They set them up. If they catch the cat, then they bring them in the morning. We alter them. And then in the afternoon, they come back, they pick them up, and they re-release them. So if we were trying to do it on our own, our community is just too large for us to be successful. So thank goodness we have wonderful community members that are out there managing mm-hmm. their own colonies.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a community member and you're a resident out there somewhere and you see that there are some wild cats, you could actually engage in the program.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the other thing that we do is all adult cats go back to where they were found. And the kittens, we want people. So if you find little kittens, neonates, the best thing is to leave them alone and leave them with their mom. So we have suggestions. If you find one baby kitten and you're just not sure, don't touch it, leave it. And you can take flour and sprinkle it around the kitten and then leave it for an hour or two and go see if that circle's been disrupted. Most likely, mom cats can only move one kitten at a time. So the mom cat is likely moving her litter and is coming back for that kitten. And once you take it, the chance of survival for that kitten is very low. So we want people to leave kittens once they're weaned and old enough and they're trapped and brought into us. We socialize and put them up for adoption. So we're taking those kittens out of the community cat population and altering them and hopefully making them companion animals for people in the future.
Yeah. Does that happen very often?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the majority of our cats that we get in the summer are all from these colonies that people find. And the secret is that you do our spay and neuters on Wednesdays. So if you're eager for a kitten, Thursday's the day to come in and look for a kitten.
Okay. Yeah. How many animals do you have in the shelter right now, cats and dogs?
Well, we meet every Thursday. So last week, we had 90 animals that were all under our care. Some of those are in foster. But we have not seen the numbers of dogs that we've had in our care in many, many years. We, for a number of years, have kind of, I'll say arrogantly, was like, we've solved the sheltering problem. Look at us.
Because the goal isn't to have a shelter that animals are in, it's to have the animals out with homes and families. Right.
Right. And what was happening that was really kind of cool is that we only had maybe 10 to 15 dogs in our shelter at any given time. But we also were helping more dogs. So they were getting in and out so fast that we ended up helping like three times as many animals as we had ever helped before in these like 2 years. And people would come in and say, you don't have any dogs. And we're like, no, we're actually helping more. They're just moving. Right now, that is not the case. We have been full multiple times this year. We have been waiving adoptions to try to increase adoptions.
Waiving adoption fees.
Sorry, yes. Yeah. Waiving adoption fees to try to increase adoptions. They're getting adopted, but way slower. So our length of stay has gone up. And when length of stay goes up, in particular it happens with cats, but more significantly with dogs, is you just start to have behavior degeneration. You start to have some health concerns. That's definitely with cats as well. So it really doesn't benefit the animals to be in the shelter longer. Mm-hmm. So it just means we're having to work a lot harder. And we have a lot of really amazing dogs in the shelter right now. If people are looking, now would be a great time to come take a peek.
So I assume there are certain breeds that people want. As soon as you get a, I don't know, a Irish setter or something, they're high demand and people have snapped those up. But other dogs that are, you know, not so...
Your general mutts.
Yeah, your general mutts, which are actually, disposition-wise, they're often the sweetest animals.
Yeah. And right now, we have animals in our building because of the situation that's happening in our community. We know that there's really not a lot of affordable housing, that there's a very low quantity of pet-friendly housing. People are having to move and leave the community, and this puts people in a place of, I mean, inflation. Cat food went up like 3 times as much as it used to be. It's putting people in a position where they are needing to make tough decisions, and those decisions could be in surrendering or that their dog goes loose and they don't go to the shelter and pick it up.
Which is like a worst case scenario.
Really. Right, right. And so we're just seeing a little bit more of that than we have in the past. And so that's most of our programs are developed to try to help people in those situations so that they don't have to give up their pets.
Well, we don't actually have a dog catcher here, right?
We have we have community officers in Sandpoint. I believe there are 2, maybe 3. And then
they're actually devoted just to animals?
No, they do animals. They do, I think, parking. Okay. They do, you know, your basic.
Yeah.
I don't think they're formally trained police officers. They're community resource officers. And then in the Bonner County, it's the sheriff's department. And in Pondere, it's the police department.
And so they'll actually pick up a stray dog and bring it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, tell us, you mentioned the foster program. Why don't you tell us a little bit what that is about?
Well, conveniently, thank you for bringing that up. We are looking right now because of the length of stay. We would love for people who can open their home to one of our dogs to come in and foster. It's really easy. We provide all the materials needed, food, everything. And you just take the dog home and let it live in a home while we look for a home rather than having it stay in the shelter. We also, the majority of our fosters this time of year are fostering kittens who are too young to be in the shelter. But right now, we're looking for those dogs. The other thing you can do that's really fun, and we have people doing it every day now, is Hounds on the Town. So if you are going to be on a hike and you want to bring a buddy, you can come by the shelter and basically, essentially, rent a dog for a day.
Rent a dog. No cost. Rent a dog.
Right.
So that would be great for the dog, of course.
Absolutely. Getting out of that environment and being out. We have people who do wonderful things, like they take a dog and they're not going to go hiking. They take it out for ice cream and take pictures. They go sit on a bench somewhere. Like they went, you know, through a coffee stand and got a pup. What is it? Like a pup latte, the whipped cream. And they take pictures of all of it. And then those pictures and the information that we learn about the disposition of the dog outside the shelter really helps us with sharing new information for families.
And so if somebody's interested in fostering, they just contact the shelter?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. BetterTogetherAnimalAlliance.org will give you all that information online. What else do you want? I got other stuff I want to ask you about, but what else do you want to bring up? I don't want to run out of time. If you have big things you want to say.
The only other thing that I know I want to make sure people know is that we're expanding our thrift store. And this has been kind of a few years in the making. We have a tentative date that it should be ready on the 30th of this month. But as you know, things happen. But to just look out for it, we're adding another 3,000 square feet to the back of the building, which means that we'll be able to consistently have furniture and some of the things that we haven't been able to accept due to our limited space.
Okay. And it's kind of integral to the shelter, right? Because it's a money raiser that helps fund the shelter.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a very important part of the work that we do.
Mm-hmm. people want to donate stuff. You want good stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, I didn't know this before I started, but let's say you're going through your closet and you go, oh, I don't wear this shoe, and you throw a shoe in a bag, but you don't have the other shoe. And if I do it, like, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just cleaning up, the assumption you'll find the other shoe. Well, when you don't, and that shoe goes to a thrift store, they have to throw that shoe away. And we will spend like $30,000 on garbage every year.
No kidding.
So really making sure that the contributions that you give are quality contributions that we can put on the sales floor, because otherwise it's really hurting the organization. We do not get any deals, no discounts whatsoever on garbage.
Yeah. So if your goods that you think you're going to donate, you look at them critically and say, you know, I don't think anybody's going to buy that beat up old beach chair that has a rip in it.
Yes.
That's not something.
Paint covered pants, holy shirts, dirty clothes. Washing them beforehand is amazing. We do not wash the clothes before they're put on the floor. We don't have time. So doing the prep work really saves us on the back end.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a thrift store, kind of exciting. Going to be, is that like doubling? How big is it right now?
So this is cool. When I started, our thrift store was around 3,000 square feet. Then we added another 2,000, I'd say 5 years ago. And then we added the sorting facility off to the side so we could process donations. And then now we're adding another 3,000. So we're at about, what is it? I just did the math.
I think
8,000 to 9,000.
8,000 on the floor, right?
Yeah, on the floor of sales floor. So it's very, very exciting. Right. And none of it would be possible if we didn't have a community that provided donations and shopped the store. So we're very appreciative of that.
Yeah, so go shop. And there, I will say, some great deals in there. I go in there and look for, every once in a while you need some odd thing. It's like, it's not something you need to go to the store and buy new. You know, there'll be a piece of, I don't know, for my case, it might be old skis or something like that, and we'll be in the thrift store. And of course, clothing. That's a big one.
Yeah. And we get really amazing items on the floor. And we really focus on keeping the prices as reasonable as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're doing a service that way as well. Yeah.
Yeah. That is our goal, is that we know that we need to bring in money to support the sheltering organization and our programs. But we also feel like the thrift store is a service to our community to provide people with reasonable items.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, one of the programs that you helped launch, it's not at all just restricted to us here locally with the animal shelter, is a program called Home to Home. The idea behind Home to Home is that somebody that has to let their pet go, that they may love, but their life situation has changed, doesn't necessarily need to take it to the shelter. They can help connect. They can connect via Home to Home with somebody that might be looking for that pet.
Yes.
So how's that work? And how's it grown?
So we started this program back in, I think the idea sprang in 2015. We created the first site, which Chris, you were a part of, with Kiyoki.
That website, my day job.
Yes. and the site essentially is exactly what you said. People post their pets looking for a new home, and then they get to choose the new owner and the new home, and the pet goes from one home to another, avoiding the shelter. This was really successful in our community, so we launched it nationally. And now, just last year, we had over 46,000 animals posted to the site. We've expanded the site, like the functionality of the site, 3 times now. We're literally about to go through another growth in next week. Actually, we start. But the site isn't just about finding new homes for pets. We also have a fostering element, and that's for people who are needing temporary assistance. Maybe they've been evicted and they love their pet. They don't want to make that difficult decision. And we're really focused on wanting people to keep families together, and they can find a foster home within their community, so that pet can go into a foster home until they're in a stable position. This was, we used the platform to help in Hurricane Ian, and we had over 200 families step in to foster pets. in those communities. So, you know, we're not talking all the way across the country. We focus our efforts within that community. And we only had 10 animals posted. And again, I think it's more so that the people signing up were because they found it through Facebook. Well, when you're facing a disaster, you're not like looking on Facebook all the time. So they didn't really know the service existed, but all 10 found foster homes immediately. Mm-hmm. So the program has grown. We're throughout North America. We have over 130 shelters. And I would say that we played a pretty big role in changing the philosophy of sheltering around like this idea that we don't have to do everything ourselves and we don't have to bring animals into shelters. They really shouldn't be in shelters. So now it's a best practice.
Yeah. Yeah. So shelters exist to, you know, have the animals on site, but it's always best if the owner who needs to relinquish their animal can connect with another person that's looking for an animal like that. And the animal doesn't have to go into that stressful situation.
Absolutely. You hear so many times that people are so upset that people need to surrender their pets. But, you know, I go on vacation and my pets stay with somebody and they have a ball. And then if I never came back, would they, like, it just eases that transition so much. Whereas if you put them in a shelter, that's kind of a pretty blunt change in their life and a lot of stress. So the goal is to create that transition really easily.
So we only have a couple minutes left here, but some of the main things that we could take out of this is, first of all, you need cat food. And if people can donate cat food or make a donation that will go towards cat food, that would be super helpful.
Absolutely.
And you can do that at either Yokes, Super One, North 40, or Petco.
Yep.
You can donate in person. You could bring it by the shelter. Or you could go online to the website and somewhere on there, there's a link for people to make a donation.
I'll tell you what, right when I'm done with this, I'll make sure the link is on the homepage.
maybe it is, and I'm just not seeing it. I do see events on here. And then thrift store is going to be expanding.
Yes.
That's pretty exciting. You do have a bigger number of animals on site than normal. So if you're thinking you need a pet companion, folks, this is a good time to go and help one of these animals out and connect up with your best friend.
That's right.
Any other events you want to mention?
We do have a clinic is in Post Falls, but October 14th. And this is a clinic where you can bring your dogs or cats and we'll do free vaccines and just a quick vet overview, but it's free to the public, October 14th, Post Falls.
Okay, and you do have some other things happening locally here. I see adoption pet food drive events. Actually, there's mentioned on your upcoming events link here on your website. So go to bettertogetheranimalalliance.org to connect up with the shelter and get information on everything we've been talking about. And with that, Mandy Evans, I want to say thank you for coming in and filling us in with what's going on at the shelter.
Yep.
So hopefully, listeners, if you're listening, get some cat food together.
Yeah,
at minimum.
Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me and for giving us this time.